surrendered to the Lord, the Lord says in the subsequent verses of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Jnani Nityayukta Ekabhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Jnani Notyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. And of all these, the one who is in pure in knowledge of me, I consider him to be the best, because he is engaged in pure devotional service and he is very dear to me and I am very dear to him. Then also Krishna says in the next verse, Udara sarva evaite jnanitvatma eva me matam astita sahi yuktatma mam eva antamam gatim. He says that undoubtedly all these devotees are magnanimous souls. They are magnanimous. Why they are magnanimous? Even though they have so many material desires, those who surrender to Krishna, they are considered as Mahatma. Because they are coming to the Lord, even though they have material desires, they are approaching the Lord. That is, even though they are approaching the Lord with the intention of getting something back, still they are considered Mahatma, because the Lord is very happy because they are asking, they are coming to Him, and there is an exchange of this affection, and the Lord gives them and. Gradually, because of that affection, the Lord gives them what they want, and because their desires are fulfilled, they also become pure devotees. So that is how the Lord says that even devotees who surrender, they are magnanimous because they are coming to me. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, says that akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is full of material desires or has no desires at all, or desiring liberation, in all these circumstances, they surrender to the Lord, then then the Lord is very, very pleased. So whether we are full of desires or no material, then surrendering to the Lord instead of going to other demigods, then because all the demigods, the devotees of demigods, whatever they ask from the Lord, actually, the Lord is giving all those things. Like in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says how everything that the demigods bestow to their devotees are actually coming from the Lord Himself. The faith which the demigods worship, the demigods, the devotees of demigods worship the demigod, the faith is given by the Lord. And all the desires that are fulfilled by the demigods are, the Lord is empowering the demigods to fulfill the desires of the His devotees. So in that way the Lord is, and also in 9th chapter the Lord says that people worship me avidhi purvakam, because they don't know, they are worshipping in a wrong way. They are going, actually I am the one who is giving everything, but because they don't understand that, they are doing in avidhi purvakam, indirect devotional service. So now here Dhruva Maharaj, when he wanted wealth, he approached the Lord. And of course, the distressed, the example is Gajendra. And then inquisitive was the sages of Naimisharanya. And then he who is searching for the knowledge of the absolute truth, the four Kumaras. So those are the examples. So coming back to this Dhruva Maharaj pastimes. So one day what happened, King Uttanapada was sitting in the palace on the throne. That time Uttama came and sat on his lap. And while at the same time Dhruva Maharaj was also his own son, he came to ascend on the throne. He was trying to get onto the lap of the father. At that time, Suruchi, being very envious, she spoke with great pride. She said that, you cannot sit on the lap of your father because you are not born from my womb. So if you at all you have to ascend to the throne or sit on the lap of your father or ascend to the throne, then you have to do great austerities and please the Lord by your austerities. When the Lord is pleased, then by that mercy of the Lord, then you will be born from my womb. Then whatever your desire is will be fulfilled. So this is how the Suruchi spoke. And then Dhruva Maharaj, being very much aggrieved, because he thought that, first of all, he was just like in the example is given, just like the snake, when the snake is hit by the stick, he breathes very heavily. Dhruva Maharaj also, when he heard this harsh words of this stepmother, he felt very much grieved and he started to breathe very heavily. And he was very upset that his father did not speak anything when she was talking like this. Then when he felt very upset, he left the palace and he went to his mother crying, saying that he went to Suniti, who was his mother, and then he told that this is what his stepmother spoke very harshly, and all the palace residents who also heard, they also told Suniti what had happened. She felt very bad and she also told, she started to cry and she said that, what to do, your father, the king, he doesn't even consider me his wife, nor he considers me his maid servant. So, unfortunately, you are born from my womb. So, then she says that even though Suruchi, she spoke very harshly, never, she gives this very interesting advice to everybody. She says that even though somebody is very harsh, we are very harshly treated, we should not wish anything bad to others. It's a very good instruction by Suniti. She tells that even though somebody treats us harshly or anything, we should never wish bad to others. Because when we wish bad to others, that will come back to us only. Then it will affect us only in return. So that is why we have to be very careful. We should never wish bad to anybody. And then she says that even though Suruchi, words might seem very harsh, but actually that is what is very, very good for you. She has told that you have to do great austerities and penances and please the Lord. So this instruction is very, very important. This instruction of hers, you should take it very seriously and to fulfill your desire, this is the only means. Because there is no material soul, and because Dhruva Maharaj is very much now upset, and there is no material solution for material problems. There is spiritual solution for material problems. So he said that you have to approach, there is nobody who can mitigate my distress or your distress. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can relieve the distress. So you have to follow the instruction of your stepmother Suruchi and perform your great austerities. So like that, then Dhruva Maharaj, taking this instruction very seriously, and he was very determined and he wanted to follow that. That time what happened, Narada Muni approached and he overheard all these things. So how Narada Muni was not present at that time when all these discussions happened, how did he know that all these things, how did he know what had happened? He overheard that and he came and he started to pacify Dhruva Maharaj. And at that time it is said that he is Trikalagna. He knows past, present and future, whatever is happening. So he could know what had happened. And then he told Dhruva Maharaj, don't be aggrieved by this harsh. He said that how wonderful are these Kshatriyas who cannot tolerate the slight infringement on their prestige. So this small boy who is only 5 years old, he is so much feeling very dishonored by the words, harsh words of the stepmother. So then he told that, then he gives very valuable instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. He says that you are still very young, you should not be affected. You are very, at this age of the childhood, you should be more interested in playing, frivolities, acting, playing and sporting. So why are you taking these instructions so seriously? You should not be taking these instructions seriously. And you have to also, like, you know, you should. So these are the instructions that Narada Muni is telling to Dhruva Maharaj. So don't be aggrieved. If you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for this. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of illusory energy. Every living entity is controlled by his previous actions. So whatever happens, so you should know that they happen by our karma. That is the higher knowledge to understand. So immediately, even in the Uddhava Gita also, there's this Avadhuta Brahmana. This is like we hear about this Avanti Brahmana. Avanti Brahmana, he is also saying that like one who can, in that section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one who can tolerate the harsh words, the words piercing the heart, even the arrows that comes are not so painful as the sharp arrows of words thrown. And one who can tolerate this is a great soul like that. So here it is said the process of Supreme Person is very wonderful, and one who is intelligent should accept the process and be satisfied whatever comes out of his own accord. Then now you have decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instruction of your mother, just achieve the mercy of the Lord. So he is giving this instruction. Then Dhruva Maharaj, he told that, then he says that you should not be aggrieved by this happiness and distress, and in both conditions the peace of mind is like, you know, when you approach a person senior than you, you have to be very respectful and very pleased. And then when somebody who is less qualified than you, when you see them, you have to be very compassionate. And then when you see somebody who is equal to you, then you have to be very friendly with such a person. By seeing these ways, then you know you can overcome this dualities and happiness, this seeing somebody getting upset with all these things. Then Dhruva Maharaj is telling that this instructions is very, very good. What you are told, one who is affected by happiness and distress, and the instruction that you have given is very, very valuable, because to get peace of mind, your instructions are very valuable. But unfortunately, I am now very much aggrieved by the harsh words of my stepmother. These instructions, they do not touch my heart. The harsh words of my stepmother has pierced my heart. So these instructions, they cannot touch me. Now I want to gain the kingdom more greater than my grandfather or great grandfather, and no one has so far achieved as yet. So I want to get a kingdom more greater than my grandfather or great grandfather. Then of course Suniti also gives this instruction to Dhruva Maharaj that your great grandfather, who was Lord Brahma, he performed great austerities for 1000 years and he achieved the power to do creation. And also we see in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, Lord Brahma seated on the lotus flower seat, he was wondering from where he, what is the source of this lotus seat. And also he was seeing like, you know, how to do this creative work, how to plan this creative work, and also what is the process of creation. He was very much bewildered, and he was sitting under the water and he was thinking about these things. At that time he heard these two syllables, tapa tapa tapa, coming from the sky. He heard sound coming from the sky and he got a clue that, oh, and then he started to see where is this noise coming from. He saw up everywhere he was seeing, and he could not find that the source of this sound vibration. And when he heard this transcendental sound vibration, he took as a clue that he has to perform tapa, austerity. So by this austerity, by doing this great penances and austerity, the Lord gives the power to do this creation. He took this great seriously and he performed great penances and austerities for 1000 years. And he got this power to do creation. And the Lord in that same section, he says that, I am very, very pleased. If somebody wants to please me, they can please me with this great austerities and penances. So the Lord gave him clue how to do this creative work. So the Suniti is telling that your great grandfather also did creation, could get the power to create by doing great austerities. So you should also follow in the footsteps of your great grandfather. And not only that, Swayambhuva Manu also, he followed all the injunctions very, very seriously, and he set a perfect example as to how to become a great progenitor like that. So these were the examples she cited to Dhruva Maharaj. So the one can please the Lord by these great austerities. So even in our life also, we have to do great austerities, like, you know, we have to, like, you know, sometimes to come for Mangalarti, we have to wake up early and come and take bath and come to the temple. These are all austerities. Even the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, like, the austerities of the body, mind and words. Austerity of the speech consists of speaking words that are truthful, beneficial, pleasing and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literatures. And austerities of the mind also in thinking of, like, worshipping the great, like, father, mother, teachers, spiritual masters and all that. So, like, with the body we do all these things, worship the parents, fathers, great-grandfathers and spiritual masters and all that. So so here, coming back to the Dhruva Maharaj pastime, so then Narada Muni instructed him to do, then he said that these instructions there do not touch my heart, because now I want to get a... Now, at the, initially, Dhruva Maharaj wanted something material. He wanted to become great, greater kingdom, greater than his father and great grandfathers. But eventually, then when he started to do the austerities, then Narada Muni instructed him that you have to go to Madhuvana and perform this great austerities. Then Dhruva Maharaj took it up very seriously, and then he was doing austerities. Then he happened to see the Lord, not see the Lord, but so Narada Muni told him how to do Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga, sitting, go to a secluded place, perform the Ashtanga Yoga, and then in that way how to meditate on the every part of the body of the Lord. So like that, then yesterday's verse we read that after sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises. So even for the meditation, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord is telling Ashtanga Yoga, for any meditation, control of the mind is very, very important. Without control of the mind and senses, practicing any yoga is a waste of time. Just like trying to ignite a fire, at the same time pouring water on it. Trying to practice yoga while indulging oneself in sense gratification is like igniting a fire, at the same time pouring water on it. So like that, so in any yoga practice, control of mind and senses are utterly important. Otherwise, just making a show of yoga without control of mind and senses is only a waste of time. So then here it is said that, so after sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises, and that thus gradually control the life air, the mind and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination. So how to control the mind? Here it is recommended by doing the breathing exercises, because there is a very close relationship between the breathing and mind control. When we do breathing, then like the mind can be brought under control. So in the Ashtanga Yoga, the Lord also says that, in the very beginning of the 6th chapter, the Lord says that Udharedatman Atmanam Natmanam Avasadayet Atmaiva Hi Atmano Bandhur Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. The Lord says that one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So what is that? One should deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So how we train our mind, that will make us our best friend. If we can, like how the Ambarish Maharaj, he used all the senses in the service of the master of the senses, then he became the mind become the greatest friend. Otherwise, the mind engaged in sense gratification, can be the greatest enemy. So control of the mind and senses are very, very important in any yoga practice. Here it is recommended through breathing process, one has to control the disturbed mind. Of course, Arjuna also asked the question that Chanchalam hi manah Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayuri vasudushkaram. He says that the mind is so strong and obstinate, O Krishna, to control the mind is very difficult. It's even more difficult than controlling the wind also. Then he says that there are four qualities. What is it? The mind is very strong, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. So to control the mind is very difficult. But then the Lord says, Asamshayam Mahabaho Manodur Nigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagena Chagrihyate. He says that the Lord doesn't, first he acknowledges Arjuna, saying that it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. It is definitely very hard. So he is acknowledging Arjuna, saying that yes, what you said is very true. To control the restless mind is restless mind is very difficult. But still, he doesn't stop there. He said, but still it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So here, Dhruva Maharaj is practicing the Ashtanga Yoga, which was recommended by Narada Muni. And then he went to a secluded place, hence he started to do Ashtanga Yoga. And he started to meditate on the Lord. So to meditate on the Lord, very first thing we need to understand is the Lord is personal, is a person, and he has a personal form, which is very, very crucially important to understand that the Lord has a form and he is a person. So we cannot meditate on an imperson, impersonal, something which is unmanifested, avyakta. In the 12th chapter also, the Arjuna asked this very important question to Krishna, that the very same question that is asked in the 3rd chapter, very first verse, and also the same question is asked in the 5th chapter, very first verse, and again in the 6th, very same question is asked, whether one has to worship you directly or indirectly, it's indirect path, like in you, which is better, to do you renunciation of work is better, or work in devotion is better, which is better? So Arjuna, the same thing is in the 5th chapter also, in the very first verse he is asking whether renunciation of work is better or work in devotion is better. But the Lord is saying both are one and the same, but work in devotional service is better because it is easier and better. And because devotional service we use our mind and senses, in practical devotional service that makes very easy to it becomes very easy, whereas in impersonal feature, that because we are not engaging our mind and senses, it becomes very troublesome. So, and to meditate on the impersonal is very hard because we are embodied. For a person who is embodied, it is very hard to meditate on impersonal feature. It is very troublesome path, the Lord says. So Arjuna is asking whether to follow the personal path or to follow the impersonal path, which is better. He is asking in the 12th chapter. So the Lord is telling that, so impersonal path is very difficult, and because it is avyakta, unmanifested, and for an embodied soul, it is very troublesome. It is so you worshipping in his personal form is the best. So then Dhruva Maharaj is beginning to meditate on different parts of the body of the Lord. The form of the Lord is described herein. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased, because whenever we see the Lord, he is very, very mercifully seeing us, trying to give his benedictions to us. He appears never to be displeased, and he is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Here these words are used. Prasanna vadanam, prasanna vadane kshanam, surasundaram. So he is the Lord is, the face is perpetually very very beautiful. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govinda madhi purisham tamaham bhajami. And the Lord is very youthful. Advaita machyuta manadi manantap rupam adhyam purana purisham navayavvanam cha. He is the purana purisha, the oldest. But how does he look? Like navayavvanam cha, fresh youth. Like have you seen anywhere Krishna looking very old? Any wrinkled face? No, Krishna, he never ages beyond youth. He looks fresh. Like Advaita Machyuta Manadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purisham. He is the oldest. Adi Purisham. Govindam Adi Purisham. Tamaham Bhajami. And he is Navayavvanam cha. He looks very, very beautiful. And there is one song by Vallabhacharya which is also very interesting. Adharam Madhuram Vadanam Madhuram. So like that, you know, every part of the body is very very beautiful. So that song by Vallabhacharya very nicely says how every part of the Lord's body is very very sweet. Adharam Madhuram. So the Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased and is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Narad Muni continued, the Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. And anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. So even the people who carve the deities, they are like, you know, the devotees who are transcendental, who see the beautiful form of the Lord by parampara, they describe the features of the Lord and accordingly the Lord is carved according to those descriptions of the parampara. So that is how the Lord is also like, the description given by Narad Muni is not imaginary. The form of the Lord is understood by the parampara system. Mayavadi philosophers say that we have to imagine the form of the Lord. But here Narad Muni does not say that. Rather, he gives the description of the Lord from authoritative sources. He is himself an authority and he is able to go to Vaikuntha Loka and see the Lord personally. Therefore, his description of the bodily features of the Lord is not imagination. Sometimes we give instructions to our students about the bodily features of the Lord and they paint him. Their paintings are not imaginary. The description is given through disciplic succession, just like that given by Narad Muni, who sees the Lord and describes his bodily features. Therefore, such descriptions should be accepted. And if they are painted, that is not imaginative painting. The Lord, today's verse, the Lord is further described as having the mark of Srivatsa, or the sitting place of the goddess of fortune. And his bodily hue is deep bluish. The Lord is a person. He wears a garland of flowers and is eternally manifest with four hands, which hold, beginning from the lower left hand, a conchal, wheel, club and lotus flower. So in this purport also it is said that the Lord is person, personal form. So anything we meditate on this personal form of the Lord. So that is why in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord emphasizes to Arjuna that it is best to worship the Lord in his personal form. And also the Lord says that he quickly delivers the devotees from the ocean of birth and death who meditate on his personal form. Eta sarvani karmani mai sanyasya padmat paraha అనన్యేనైవ యోగేనా మాం ధ్యాయంత ఉపాసతే తేషామహం సముద్ధర్తా మృత్యు సంసార సాగరాత్ భవామి నచిరాత్ పార్థా మయ్యావేషిత చేతసాం. బట్ వన్ హూ ద లార్డ్ సేస్ దట్ బట్ వన్ హూ ఎంగేజెస్ ఇన్ మై డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ మై ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ ఫామ్ their mind, intelligence and mind fixed on me, for them I am the, having fixed their minds upon me, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. But those who engage, so the Lord says that those who engage in his devotional service, meditating on his transcend, engaged in devotional service, meditating on his transcendent, engaged in devotional service, meditating on his transcendental form, without deviation, for such a person, the Lord, he quickly comes and delivers such a devotee. So, in the whole entire Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is telling two paths. One is direct path and one is indirect path. But even though the Lord is telling both the paths, but he is very many, in every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he is emphasizing the direct path is the best. And the last verse of the 6th chapter also, the Lord says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yoma sameyukta tama. Of all the yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service unto me, he is intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. That is how the Lord concludes that chapter. So this direct path and indirect path, especially in the age of Kali, the direct path is what is very, very important. It is that is what is recommended. Otherwise, indirect path takes very long time. In the 7th chapter, 9th verse, 19th verse also, the Lord says, Bahunam janma namante jnanavan maam prapadyate vasudevah sarvamiti samatma sudurlabha. He says that after many births and death, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a soul is very rare. The Lord says that. So it is like the direct path and indirect path are like, of course, both the paths will ultimately lead you to the goal, but one of them is direct and easy and quick, very swift, very fast. Like we can take the example of Rialto Towers. Rialto Towers is about 55 floors. So there are two ways that we can go to Rialto Towers. One is by climbing the steps, and one is by going in the lift. Ultimately, by both the processes, we can still reach the topmost floor. But one of them is quick and easy, whereas the other one is a long process. So, bahunam janmanamante, for a long time, it takes very long time. So, that is why in this age of Kali, it is very, very important to take the direct path. And the most recommended process for this age of Kali is the Sankirtan Yajna. The most easiest process and the highest benedictions that we can get. Like even in the, it is said that this breathing process and all is very hard. Like, you know, in the Ashtanga Yoga process, following every Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Dharana, all this, very, very hard. That's what Arjuna said, that the process that you have recommended, summarized, appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. That is what Arjuna is telling. So, to control the mind is very hard. But the easiest way to control the mind is Maha Mantra. Maha means what? Great. Man means mind. Tra means that which delivers the mind, is called Maha Mantra. For this age of Kali, we don't have to do this elaborate process of going to the secluded place, laying a kusha grass, sitting on a deer skin with half closed eyes, staring at the tip of the nose, one should be very So why is it recommended to sit on the deer skin? Like in the Ashtanga Yoga process, they say that you have to go to a secluded place and lay Kushaga on the grass and sit on the deer skin. Snakes, because while doing, because you're in a secluded place in a forest, that time you are scared, you know, because you are doing meditation, your meditation should not break means if, then you are worried whether any snakes will come and bite, right? That is why they lay a cushion, the deer skin. So that when they sit on the deer skin, they keep the snakes away. So that is why, so to practice this elaborate process is very, very hard. So Arjuna is telling that even though long time, 5000 years back, Arjuna was very much qualified to follow this process. But he himself is telling that this process which I have recommended is highly impossible because the mind is restless and unsteady. But what to talk in this age of Kali now? Very hard. So the easiest process recommended for this age of Kali is chanting the holy name of Krishna. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hayeka mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param. And Krishna varanam trisha krishnam sango pangastra parshadam yagnaya sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasaha. Those who are intelligent, they take to this process of sankirtan yagna. We don't have to do elaborate process. We don't have to do anything. The simplest of the simple process is recommended for this age of Kali by taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna. The man, the mind, which is affected by these daily anxieties of that. So this mantra makes us raise and come to the transcendental, the above this daily worries and anxieties. It will situate us above this, because the Prabhupada says that you don't have to understand the language of the mantra, but still it is very, very effective. It is like and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that song called Jee Jago Gaurachanda Bole Kotani Drajao Maya Pishachir Kole. So he says that Aushad Inichi Aushadi Maya Nashi Barulagi Hari Nama Maha Mantra La Tumi Magi. So he says that Maha Mantra is like a medicine. Medicine for this age of Kali to control. So this we have to take this medicine of chanting the holy name of Krishna, and the diet is Krishna Prasadam. Krishna. So the Atah Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriye sevan mukhi hi jihvada swayam meva spratyada. Our material senses are very blunt. But by taking shelter of Krishna's holy name, our senses will be purified. The Nama Rupa Guna Lila of Krishna is very hard to understand with this material blunt senses. Then we have to sevan mukhi jivada, we have to purify these materially blunt senses by chanting the holy name of Krishna. That is the easiest process, because in this age of Kali, whatever, like, you know, in the 19th, 18th chapter of first canto, it is said, Parikshit Maharaj saying that, like in this age of Kali, like the sins, like, you know, even if you think in the mind, it will not actually affect us. But we have to commit that sinful activity to really have effect on us. So many concessions are given in this age of Kali. Still, if we cannot take that, then we are most unfortunate. And also taking, especially in the age of Kali, three things are very, very important. What is that? Krishne Swadhamopagate Dharma Jnanadivi Saha Kalo Nashtu Drisham Mesha Puranarko Dhunoditaha. So Krishna, when he went to his own abode, along with him at the end of Dwapar Yuga, the Lord went to his own abode, along with him he took Dharma and Jnana. Along with him he took Dharma and Jnana. So immediately, the moment Krishna left this earth, immediately Kali Yuga came. The moment the Krishna left, immediately took the Kali. And along with him, he took Dharma and Jnana. So the dense darkness of the age of Kali. So we are all very proud of our eyes. Actually, we are not seeing anything. We are actually blind. So it may be very like when I'm seeing that we are seeing and we are not seeing. It is very contradictory, right? So how we can, we are seeing and yet we pashyati, we are seeing but we are not seeing. So what is that we are seeing and we are actually not seeing? We are not seeing the reality. So how we can, like, you know, we, because dense darkness of the age of Kali, we lost our spiritual vision. So Krishna, then Krishna very mercifully, he arranged the entire pastime of the 19, the passing of a, of Parikshit Maharaj was, there were three reasons, like one was to bring the Srimad Bhagavatam. He wanted Parikshit Maharaj to be a instrument like that. So that is why this Parikshit Maharaj, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the moment the Krishna left, he along with him took Dharma and Jnana, immediately Kali came, and then dense darkness, we lost our spiritual vision. So in the, like in the 12 o'clock in the midnight, it is pitch dark everywhere. If there are no street lights, no electric lights, can we see anything? Cannot see anything. But yet we are very proud of our eyes, right? I have my eyes, but I am not able to see anything, right? In the dense darkness at 12 o'clock, no lights whatsoever, can I see? But I am very proud of my eyes. But he says that in the morning what happens? The sun rises into the horizon and all the darkness is dissipated. So like that, Srimad Bhagavatam has come into the horizon to dissipate the dark, dense darkness of the age of Kali. And one who wants to take shelter of Krishna in this age of Kali, chanting the holy name of Krishna and taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is very, very important. If you want, don't want Kali to influence on, have influence on you, then you have to take shelter of the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. They are like torch bearers in the age of Kali. Like in the dark, like I told, at 12 o'clock in the midnight, we cannot see anything. If there are no lights, how to find our way? We take torch to find our way, right? So in this age of Kali, the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are like torch bearers which show us back home, back to Godhead, how to attain that, go to that supreme abode of Krishna. Where Natad Bhashayate Surya, 15th chapter, Krishna says, 6th verse, Natad Bhashayate Surya, Nasashanko, Napavakaha, Yad Gatvanani Vartante, Taddhama Paramamama. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it, they never return to this material world ever again. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon. In the material world, one day the sun doesn't rise, finish, everything comes. So we are so much dependent on the Supreme Lord is telling, that supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon. So we are dependent on the sun and moon, fire and electricity. If there is no electricity, suddenly it becomes dark, nothing can function. So we are dependent so much in the material world, one day the sun doesn't rise, everything is finished. And one day the moon doesn't come, or there are no lights, all these things can be a great problem. But the Supreme Lord is telling, that supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon. So then how is it illuminated? The Lord's from transcendental body, the effulgence of the Lord, is the entire spiritual world illuminated like that. So when we go there, we don't have to come to this dark material world. The spiritual world is 3/4 and material world is 1/4. Actually, just for the some sort of idea they are telling like that, actually entirety is spiritual world. In the corner there is one dark cloud, that Mahatattva, that is material world. It's a dark place. Material world is dark place. Without this sun and moon and electricity, nothing can work. But the Lord is guaranteeing, once you come to my abode, you don't have to come return to this material world. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. If any questions are there, if I can answer. Thank you. Thank you all very much.